Welcome to another edition of Radioactive Magazine on KKFI with this week's host, Dave Mitchell. Today we are talking with Mr. Dan Coffey, who is the founder of Citizens for Responsible Government here in Kansas City. We will be exploring with Mr. Coffey his organization's involvement in opposition to the new terminal project at KCI since its original proposal in 2014. Mr. Coffey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Okay. Glad to be here.
Well, glad you are here. Can you describe the founding of Citizens for Responsible Government here in Kansas City, its mission or values, your role, and different projects your organization has been involved with in the past?
Sure. Well, it started out as a group of concerned citizens. We didn't like what was going on at City Hall. We felt like that our city government was not doing projects that were in the best interest of the taxpayers, a lot of different things. And so we decided to form this group. It was about, I would say, 7 or 8 of us got together, and conservative thinkers for the most part.
Uh-huh.
And we decided that we would see what we could do to impact what was going on at City Hall. And then eventually we had hoped at the state level and maybe even the federal government level if we could grow the organization. So we kind of divided up the issues. We had one person that was going to be interested in schools. One person was going to be interested in the budget. One person was going to be interested in crime. Another person was just going to be interested in the day-to-day activities of City Hall. And that we would have periodic meetings and report back what was going on and what we found. Well, we did that. We had a couple of meetings. And it was going along pretty good. And then all of a sudden, in the paper one day, was this article about they were going to tear down the airport and build a new single-terminal airport up at KCI.
And that was back in 2013, 2014?
Probably 2013, 2014. Yeah. So, you know, we were having our next meeting, and somebody brought it up, that did you see that article about the airport? And I said, yeah, we did. Well, what do you think? Well, you know, we don't like that. We think we got a pretty good airport up there, and everybody we talk to likes it, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we saw where they were scheduling a meeting, a hearing, you know, like to where people could ask questions and so on, and they were going to announce this new, the new project. So we went to the meeting, 2 or 3 of us. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there at this meeting asking questions about why do we need this, and they were answering them.
That was with Mr. Mark Van Lowe.
Mark Van Lowe, and there were a couple of other city people there, too.
The director of the aviation department for Kansas City.
He was the director of the aviation.
At the time.
Yes.
And then there was also Russ Johnson and Ed Ford, who were city council persons there.
I believe they were both there, yes.
Okay.
Russ Johnson was head of the transportation committee for the city council.
Okay.
And Ed Ford was a council person from that area, from the Platte County up there, Platte City. Anyway, so we start asking questions and saying, well, why do we need this? And they would come back and say, well, the FAA wants us to build a new airport. And well, how are we going to pay for it? Well, the FAA will pay for it. And those were some of the questions that we asked, and it got all the way down. I would guess it went on probably 15 or 20 minutes. And finally, one of them, I can't remember exactly which one, stood up and said, look, we're going to build this airport, and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. Well, we just kind of looked at each other, and that was the end of the press conference. I learned something right here now, though. They made a beeline for the elevator. Well, Mike Mahoney, a local reporter, was after him, asking him more questions. Hey, why don't you answer these questions? Mm-hmm. You know, da-da-da-da. And they pushed a button, and the elevator never came. So they're standing there in front of the elevator. I thought to myself, in the future, if I'm in a situation like this, I'm going to the stairs. I'm not going to head for the elevator, you know. But anyway, to make a long story short, we went back, kind of got our heads together. A couple of guys in the group were attorneys. And we said, is there anything we can do about this? And they said, yes, you can get an initiative petition to say that they can't tear down any airport that the city owns until the people get to vote on it. So we did that. Citizens for Responsible Government filed an initiative petition with the city. We went out. We got the signatures. We brought it back. The city didn't like it. They wanted to negotiate the terms, which we sat down. We were trying to be fair-minded, and we negotiated back and forth for a while. They wanted us to take out the downtown airport, but we said, because they own that too, and we said, no, we don't think we want to do that. We just want to make sure that if you're going to tear down any of the airports that we have now, or do any major construction, we think the taxpayers should have a say in whether or not you do that or not.
Okay. Do you remember the wording of the petition that you circulated in 2015? Is that
I don't remember.
You could just could you just well the bottom line was that the city council passed an ordinance, correct?
That's correct.
As a result of pressure from your organization, and that was in 2015, and the city council and the ordinance stated what in essence?
That they could not destroy or start any major construction projects at any airport owned by the city.
Okay.
Now they had the option, the council had the option of putting it on a ballot so the taxpayers could vote on our petition or passing it themselves.
Uh-huh.
And they elected to go ahead and pass it themselves.
Okay.
And,
okay. Well, let's back up just a little bit. I mean, I know in our prior conversation you said that Mark Van Lowe, the then director of the Aviation Department for Kansas City, that the entire idea of the single terminal was his brainchild, his dream.
I don't know that for a fact, but
okay.
I can tell you this, that he was the only person that I'd ever heard talk about it.
Okay. And then apparently Russ Johnson and Ed Ford, at minimum, jumped on board with the idea.
Yes.
And I remember back then when they were talking about, you know, as just a citizen here in Kansas City, and not that I use the airport that much, but when I did or when I would pick somebody up, I mean, the airport's extremely accessible. It's very easy to get to, very easy to get in the terminal. I never perceived it as particularly crowded. In fact, from my own personal point of view, I thought it was the best airport in the country based on the few other airports I've seen. But regardless, you know, I didn't have any perception then, or nor do I have perception now, that the airport is overburdened, overcrowded, unmanageable. I don't perceive any of those things. And so can you address yourself to those points?
Well, you perceive the facts. You perceive mm-hmm. what is correct. Our airport isn't overcrowded. I mean, they attempted to make it appear overcrowded about 3 years ago or so, they closed Terminal A. The whole idea was that they didn't need it, you know, and they moved Delta Airlines into Terminal B with Southwest Airlines. That put the two biggest airlines in the same terminal, creating an air of crowdedness. You know, this is crowded, our airport's crowded. Mm-hmm. Then they took and put a valet parking area right in the front of the Southwest entrance gates so that people trying to get into Southwest Airlines had to go through the valet parking area to get into the door in a lot of areas. So that created another air of potentially looking like a crowded airport. And the whole attempt was to try to make it appear crowded so that they could sell this new airport idea to the general public.
So, well, that's. Do you think they really did that for ulterior motives in terms of that?
Why
closing Terminal A and moving Delta to Terminal B?
Yes, I do believe that, and they'll deny it. But we also had heard at the time that Southwest Airlines, and this is something that came up later, the mayor was very vocal when he was going out and making the pitches to try to sell the new airport concept, that we were losing flights to St. Louis because Southwest Airlines thought our airport was shabby and it wasn't a good experience for their passengers, so they were moving flights to St. Louis. We had some people dig into that, and what we found was the fact that Southwest had gone to the city and the aviation department wanting to put a bigger hub in Kansas City, a pilot hub or maybe even a Southwest hub, even to the point that at one time I'd heard they had actually approached the city about buying Terminal A and turning it into their own terminal, like they kind of have in Dallas. And anyhow, the city told them, no, we're going to build a single terminal airport where Terminal A is, and, you know, you have to stay where you are. Well, then Southwest said, well, we don't have the gates here to do what we want to do, so we're moving some stuff to St. Louis. And they took about 15 flights and moved a hub-type facility into the St. Louis airport. And that's not the first time that's happened. TWA did the same thing years ago. TWA, which was headquartered in Kansas City, wanted to make Kansas City a international hub for TWA. Now, that would have expanded flights in and out of Kansas City dramatically because it was one of the biggest airlines in the world at the time. They asked the aviation department in the city to build another runway parallel to the runway that was there at the new KCI airport. And they were concerned that if they were flying several, maybe 100 flights a day in and out of Kansas City or more, if something happened to the runway that was there, we only had the one runway, they would be backed up all over the country, maybe all over the world, because they couldn't get into their hub in Kansas City. So they said, we want another runway there, so that in case something blocks one runway, we have a second one we can go to. And so the city said, no, we're not going to spend that money. We don't want to do that. TWA packed up, went to St. Louis.
Packed up and left.
So we've made some very bad decisions as far as our airport is concerned. Mm-hmm. And frankly, our group, Citizens for Responsible Government, feels like we're making another bad decision right now.
You are listening to Radioactive Magazine. My name is David Mitchell, and we are speaking with Mr. Dan Coffey of the Citizens for Responsible Government. So let's get to some numbers here. You know, the original three terminals, Terminal A, B, and C, was originally touted as having, I think, 99 gates, but I think the reality is that it was more like 66, ended up being 66.
I believe as time has passed, and the reconfiguration of the jetways and some of the airplanes and the loading and unloading areas, they're down to about 67, I believe 67 gates or so.
And with closing of Terminal A, I understand that the number of active gates right now is 41. But there are 47 gates, of which 41 are active. Is that about right?
That's probably about right. You figure about 23, 24 per terminal. So that would get you to the 67.
And I think the other thing is that the new airport, you know, the new single terminal airport, you know, in our prior discussion, we talked about how the new terminal, single terminal airport would be 35 gates.
Right.
30 would be domestic and 5 would be international.
Right.
And so that's 6 gates less than the current number of gates operating now. And I think, so you want to, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
So basically you're looking at a situation where you would have a new terminal. It would cost, I guess, $1 billion or $1.2 billion is $1.2 billion is the number that's put out there.
Today.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, that gets in another ball of wax. Mm-hmm. But so you're spending $1.2 billion for a smaller airport that serves less people, and you are increasing the debt.
That's correct.
Is that basically a correct assumption or correct assessment?
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
And what we looked at is, well, is this normal? Mm-hmm. Is this what's going on around the country?
Uh-huh.
So one of the people who's on our aviation consultant did some research.
That's Don Hensley.
Yes.
Okay. And he's been in aviation for a long time.
His whole life, basically, yes. He's a pilot. He's worked for the FAA.
Uh-huh.
He's an FAA consultant. He consults with a lot of different aviation projects around the country.
Okay.
And I believe he worked in the control tower at KCI, and I believe he managed the control tower at Dallas Airport.
So he's quite knowledgeable.
Yes, he is. So he went to Dallas to find out, well, what's going on? And come to find out, the Dallas airport, the big airport, not Love Field, but the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, was built 2 years after KCI was built. It's basically the same configuration, solid, reinforced concrete, horseshoe terminals. They've got four or five of them down there. And they're getting ready to spend, I believe it's $1 billion remodeling those terminals. They're not going to tear them down. They're not going to tear them down and build a new single terminal. They realize that the structure that they have there is probably far safer because of the reinforced concrete than what anything they could build today. So they're going to spend the money and remodel those facilities. Mm-hmm. And in the course of doing this, they will go from 107 gates to 145 gates. So we're asking ourselves, well, why is Kansas City going from
41 active gates
down to 35? Why are we going the other way? Uh-huh. Now Denver's announced they're going to increase the size of their airport. Mm-hmm. They're adding more gates. They're adding 25 or 30 gates uh-huh. in Denver. So we're going just exactly the opposite uh-huh. way that the trend seems to be in the country. And we have to ask why.
You are listening to Radioactive Magazine. My name is David Mitchell, and we are speaking with Mr. Dan Coffey of the Citizens for Responsible Government. Well, in terms of managing flights and managing flights is having three separate terminals is what's the advantage over having three separate terminals? Or I guess in the case of Dallas, five separate semicircular terminals. Is there an efficiency advantage to that kind of setup as opposed to a single terminal?
Evidently, they feel like it is. As a matter of fact, I think they're building another terminal at the Dallas.
Oh, down in Dallas? Uh-huh. Okay.
But the theory is today, for a long time, everybody was building these airports like they want us to build here, where they funneled everybody in through security into one place. Now the thinking is opposite of that. They're going back to the multiple check-in areas mm-hmm. just for safety purposes. They figure that by spreading the passengers out, it's a safer environment than having them all jammed into one area. Also, if you have a bad situation, something happened in one terminal, your airport's not shut down. You have mm-hmm. other terminals that can uh-huh. can accept that.
Okay.
And see, right, Kansas City our airport is built to land up to 100 flights an hour. Now think about that.
That's
100
lot.
Airplanes an hour.
That's a lot.
And we are a rescue airport for the Midwest, upper Midwest. For example, if a big storm would hit Minneapolis, Indianapolis, Chicago, Omaha, Des Moines, a lot of that traffic would be funneled into Kansas City now, the way mm-hmm. we're set up now, uh-huh. because our runways can handle that. And uh-huh. we have excess gates that can handle that, okay. the planes.
Okay.
But we go down to 35 gates, we won't be able okay. to do that anymore.
Okay. Well, I think one of the other things is there's been a lot of drama in the city, around in 2017 around searching for a developer and for this new airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that, originally Mayor James was involved in a non-public or assisting in non-public negotiations with Burns and McDonnell in the spring. Mm-hmm. When that became public, the city council decided to insist on having a competitive bidding process. A Los Angeles engineering firm called AECOM, AECOM, was involved with that. Burns and McDonnell was disqualified because of some financial issues. There was a place in Maryland called Edgemore that eventually won the competitive bidding process. And then AECOM combined with Burns and McDonnell to create KCI Partnership. And they have a headquarters in Crown Center, and they are floating an alternative proposal to Edgemore, which was chosen as they won the competitive bid that was during the summer. And but there were a lot of issues with that. The city council on December 14 voted to not approve the memorandum of understanding with Edgemore. And then on December 21st, they voted to reopen negotiations. And in fact, things have been so chaotic that the Kansas City Chamber of Commerce sent hand-delivered a letter to the mayor and the city council people basically saying to get your act together on the entire situation. From where you stand, what is your reaction to all this drama, and do you see any connection between the history of this entire situation and what's going on now?
Our group, Citizens for Responsible Government, said very early on that this was a project, if we were going to do this, this was a project that should not be handled by in-house council people or local attorneys and developers and other individuals. We felt like, because there are companies around the world, we had an occasion, several occasions, to meet with some people that design airports worldwide, all over the world. Airports like Heathrow in London, England, and San Francisco Airport, Dallas Airport, Los Angeles Airport. And so they're involved. They actually go out and they will do a request for proposal. They will send that out to companies that are qualified to do a project like what we're talking about. They'll pick the best ones and then maybe get some local people involved and decide on somebody. And then they'll help write the memorandum of understanding. Rather than having local people do this, I mean, nothing against – I'm not saying anything against the people that were involved in this committee, but they're not educated and they're not professionals in this area when there are people out there that are. Uh-huh. So why not bring them in and let them do this for us? Uh-huh. And that way we take all the emotions out of the process, we take all the politics out of the process, and we might end up with what we think would probably have been a far better solution than what we have now. Okay. What we have right now are local people involved. Nothing against the local people. We'd like to see local people build this. It would be great for the city. Uh-huh. But if there's politics and emotions and that type of stuff involved in the process, we don't have a good process, mm-hmm. and we're not going to have a good outcome. Okay. A bad process is going to lead to a bad outcome.
Well, I hear that. So in the event, I know the city passed a resolution to reopen negotiations with Edgemoor, and that the goal is for Edgemoor to come up with a memorandum of understanding by the end of January. Whether or not that comes to pass, the end of January is not that far off. That's awfully quick to come up with something pretty complicated. But in the event that those negotiations fall through, how would the process that you talk about, how would the city get on board with a process close to what you're talking about?
Basically, you'd have to start over. You would have to start over and say, we're going to hire an outside agency to come in and do this for us. They're going to write the request for proposals and qualifications. Mm-hmm. They will pick two or three companies that are qualified. And we won't have a situation like we had with Burns and McDonnell. They will pick companies that are qualified to build an airport for us. It might even be a remodel. They might broaden it out and say, we're not going to say we want the best airport for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. If that's a remodeled airport or a new terminal, you go out and you get requests for proposals to build us with the best airport we can have in our city. What we're looking at right now are copycat. These airports are what they're showing us are airports that have been built all over the world.
Well, so when you talk about an outside agency, who are we talking about exactly?
There are companies. Some of them they have legal people involved in them. They have financial people involved in them. They've got engineers and architects mm-hmm. who can evaluate proposals and take a look at what somebody's proposing. Say, yeah, this will work or that won't work. Uh-huh. And we're asking our city council people to do that, mm-hmm. basically.
Okay.
And some people on the aviation committee. To my knowledge, there was no professional financial people involved in this airport project that we have going now. The attorneys that they were using, we've paid $1.5 million to so far, and we have nothing, basically. We have an MOU that nobody's happy with.
Okay. Well, I think the other thing you indicated to me previously was that if negotiations with Edgemoor fell through, that the city would have to pay them $30 million. Is that correct?
That's in the MOU. That's part of the memorandum of understanding. That is what the city council got upset about. Uh-huh. Several members on the city council. Now, and that's what the mayor got up mm-hmm. all upset about. And they said, oh, well, you can't. That's going to uh-huh. embarrass us. Uh-huh. This is a black mark on the city of Kansas City because our city council people are doing their job, basically. Or nine of them did, their job is stick it up and say, hey, wait a minute, we don't like what's going on here. We don't like this $60 million payout. We have never got these numbers that we've been asking for months. We haven't gotten this, and we've been asking for it for months. And until we get that, they actually passed a ordinance saying the city couldn't issue any bonds until they got the information they needed. And that's what started where we are today.
Well, and I think the other thing with Edgemore was that they were lacking a great deal of detail in the overall proposal, and that made the city council people quite nervous as well.
That's my point, yeah.
Okay. So how could average citizens, I mean, if these negotiations fall through, how could average citizens make their voice heard to the city council to that they would support an idea such as what you're putting forth, that there be that we start over, basically? How would that be done?
Well, they would need to get a hold of their city council person and tell them.
Okay.
You know, you've got to start here. You started started acting what we think is in the public interest, or in the best interest of the public, by challenging this thing. Councilwoman Heather Hall started it about a month ago when she challenged the hotel people to get more information, more financial information. They had never provided the council with a lot of the information the council was looking for. And so she got an ordinance out there that said, hey, well, you know, we're not going to do anything more for the hotel until you bring us this information. And all of a sudden it started coming forward. Well, then the city council kind of stopped that. And since then, there's been no more information coming.
Okay.
So we got some people on the council that are willing to step up and start asking these hard questions and getting the information, doing what we elected them to do, basically, is what it is.
Okay. One final point is I know Don Hensley, in the white paper that you forwarded to me, he made the argument that if we did do a $1.2 billion investment in a single terminal and cut down to 35 gates, that the current income per year at KCI is about $127 million.
That's right.
And he said that with the current debt combined with a $1.2 billion debt, that the annual payment would be about $160 billion, which is at least $160 million per year, excuse me, and $30 million over what they're making now with 41 gates. And that reduction down to 35 gates, you know, so there's at least a $30 million per year shortfall just to break even. And can you address yourself to that?
Well, yes. I mean, it's going to be a minimum of 30, closer to probably to 40 million right off the bat.
Right.
And there's only one way to make that up. And that's
increase the ticket prices.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You can't all of a sudden add 100,000 more passengers.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is there's only one way to do it, and that's increase ticket prices.
Well, you'd have fewer gates, and one would assume fewer people flying the airport on average. So, and then the other thing about 35 gates is there's no room to grow, there's no room to expand, and you're locking yourself into a smaller airport that costs a lot of money, as opposed to a larger one.
It chokes our city. Chokes our city.
Okay.
Off.
All right. Well, that's. Well, Don, we have used up our time here for this particular segment, and I wish we had a little bit more time. But you know, thank you very much for being on the show, and this is for me personally, this has been a very interesting conversation.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.